Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Once again, I apologize for the Dr. Karp thing. We can't take his calls anymore. That guy is finished. What a quack. Don't forget, see Joe Conklin at Parks Casino Street Road in Bensalem on Thursday, October 23rd. Joe welcomes in headliner Eric Ochoa. Get tickets online at joeconklin.com. All right, there's a lot of vibes here with this thing, with this Eagles thing, back to 23. You know, from there's a part of the team that's really struggling. In that year, it was the defense. This year, it looks like the offense. They just can't get things moving in the right direction. But really, what strikes me is the vibes. There's just like a weird cloud over them. It was like that in 23. This year, it's like that. I think the AJ thing is really driving that. But they don't seem to be enjoying themselves, and they're the ones referenced in 23 before any of us brought it, brought it up. Listen to this. This was from a couple Sundays ago, before the game against the Broncos. Now, ironically, they haven't won since, so they haven't had to enact this. But listen to Ashlyn Sullivan with her report before the game, NBC Sports Philadelphia, about what the Eagles leaders asked Sirianni about. And as far as their Mondays after wins.
Well, Barrett and Jason know it better than most. There's a tradition in the NFL that you just don't really mess with, and it's Victory Monday. It's pretty simple. You win the game on Sunday, you get off on Monday, you come into the facility later on in the week, and you go to the next game plan. Well, talking to Eagles players in the locker room, they have told me that Victory Monday is canceled for the Philadelphia Eagles. The undefeated 4-0 Philadelphia Eagles do not have any Victory Mondays, and this is because the Eagles leadership group of Jordan Mailata, Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts went to the coaching staff and said, we don't deserve a Victory Monday. Look at how we're playing. We have to play better. We need this extra day to go over game film of a win. And frankly, the players telling me they like the change in the schedule.
All right, so there was the leaders going to Sirianni and saying they didn't want a Victory
Monday. It was actually at the club.
No, that was a stadium. That was warm-ups. I think it was
live from the club.
No, it's not. Like
Let's go to our reporter live from the club pregame here. All right, so we had that. Do we also have Jordan Mailata talking about it all? Jordan Mailata on the idea of trying to enjoy the wins, Victory Monday, all that.
I almost really like not having a Victory Monday because it brings us in. And we're able to, again, watch the film as a team, be very critical, but also just be around those who understand, the predicament. Not even predicament, but the situation we're in. We're 4-0. Many teams would love to be 4-0 right now. But we're in the business of getting better. We're in the business of being very critical at the same time. Wins are great, but we're not playing to where to the standard that we know we can be. And so I think, enjoying the win is great, but being around this locker room and being here the day after a game so we can correct and see what went wrong.
So you have Mailata, you have the report that there's no more Victory Mondays, and then you have this about Nick, listen to Nick Sirianni talk about the team and kind of how they're feeling right now, what he wants them to feel. Here's Sirianni a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, you got to give yourself, points for wins, all right? Because we're going to feel terrible about ourselves when we lose, and we're going to take away points. When you lose, you got to give yourself points for wins, and you got to enjoy it, because that, you're doing this to go, you're doing all these things because you love it, you're doing all these things so you can go out there and be at your best, you're doing all these things that we do throughout a week to continue to get better, and you have to be able to celebrate that when you win. I think we got a lot better feel of that than we have had in the past, because one thing that I've said a lot is, that Sunday, we got to celebrate this win in the locker room, on the plane ride, whatever it is, you have to celebrate this win. But that, make no mistake about it, you want to continue to get better. And there's opportunities after each game to get better. And so that's okay when you come in Monday. Like, no one should be feeling themselves from the game still right now. Really, hopefully that was done on Monday after we went through the game. You feel good that you won, but you got a lot to correct.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here, when you add all those three things together, what do you feel? Because 2 years ago, there was a story, I think Jeff Bickley had a report, that they were the most miserable 10-1 team, right? They looked like they were wearing the expectations of the season. They didn't enjoy the wins. It feels like they're back there, that they're not enjoying anything.
Yeah, that's the first thing that jumped out to me was situational awareness. They are aware of the fact that they're not playing well, and they're trying to do everything in their power to fix it because they are locked in. That's why I'm really bullish on the quarterback fixing this, because he can fix this. You know, and somebody called in earlier, I think it was Abdul, and he was talking about, well, the defense is different. Well, as a collective, it's the team. And the one person on a 53-man roster that always feels like he's separate from everybody else is the quarterback. And if he brings – like, it's a different energy when he brings everybody together. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's one of those things, even though – He doesn't play on the defensive side of the ball. When your quarterback is a hands-on kind of guy, you know, one of the things that I liked about Jalen that I heard about him when I first got back to Philadelphia, it was that he was in the weight room working out with everybody. Mm-hmm. Now, this is not an indictment on Donovan, but Donovan never worked out in the locker room with us.
I have to imagine most quarterbacks don't.
No, they don't. Yeah. But when you heard stories about that, that really, to me, set him apart, because quarterbacks – you know, and I always, you know, talk about vibrating on a different level. They really do, because they are treated differently than everybody else on the football team, and that's a fact. So when you have a guy that's in that locker room and has boots on the ground and is sociable and is interacting with everybody, whether you want to admit it or not, that makes you feel different. Because quarterbacks don't really fool with everybody else like that. They fool with the coach. And they fool with the guys that they have to fool with. Mm-hmm. But when you have one that's the special kind of leader that I think Jalen is, I think it's different. And that's why I feel like he's the one, the only one, that can fix this. And fix it quickly. He can fix this quickly. I wholeheartedly believe that. But it's something to be said about everybody on that squad that you talk about how they need to get better. So they understand that. They understand that they're a good football team, but they're not where they need to be.
So I hear you on the Jalen part, and especially on the offensive side. He's, you know, a lot of the responsibility on getting everyone on the same page. I do look at the coaching, though, and Nick Sirianni's job is culture, right? Like, that's his job. He doesn't call plays. Not an X's and O's guy. His job is culture. And last year, he got it, everyone rowing in the same direction. Great job by Sirianni. We all, wherever you were a year ago on Nick Sirianni, we all kind of collectively came to, this guy did a good job with his football team, and he got them to win the Super Bowl, play together, play for each other. But when I hear Mailata talking that way, and that's what it was 2 years ago. They looked miserable. Like, I know you said a lot, this is on Jalen to get together. If this thing goes the wrong way this year, and it's 2 out of 3 years that they collapse from within, I got to look at Sirianni and be like, dude, this is your job here. Like, again, you don't call plays. You don't design the offense. And when you look at the other coaches like him in the NFL, to me, there's less peaks and valleys with culture. Like, Mike Tomlin, the Steelers are typically the same. The Lions are typically the same, right? That doesn't mean they're always winning a lot of games, but they're not infighting. There's not, like, a malaise over them. I don't know. If I'm Nick Sirianni, I'm hearing that stuff. I'm like, man, I got to get this locker room together. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down on all of it? OG Wade up on WIP. Hey, OG.
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
OG, how are you? What's up?
Listening to this conversation about the Jalen Hurts, and I wanted to get in there yesterday, but I think Jalen Hurts deserves a lot of blame for where this offensive set. And I say that because I always come on here and I tell you how Jalen Hurts, you know, where I believe he is as a quarterback ranking and so forth, and I give him credit for the wins. This is why I disagree with a lot of people that say winning is not a quarterback record, because it is. Because when your team is losing, who are we pointing the finger at? We pointed at the quarterback. So, yeah, when the team is winning, I think Jalen Hurts should get most of the credit. And when the team is losing and we're going through what we're going through right now, he deserves the blame for where it's at right now. Now, that being said, you can't sit and soak on that. Now you have to be proactive. What do you do to change where we are? And I think he's fighting an uphill battle because he's fighting against his own coach and organization, because I understand why they're not running the RPO, because they don't want to get him hit. They don't want to get him hurt. Okay, well, that's inevitable in football. Okay, I don't give a damn if your quarterback is standing in the pocket and you're just running a basic offensive from the pocket. Your quarterback still can get hurt. So if you know that Jalen Hurts from the pocket, when given time, is 78 completion percentage from the pocket, why wouldn't you go out your way to max protect him, to give him that protection? Because that's where you feel and you know you're going to get the most out of Jalen Hurts. Shane Steichen came here. Shane Steichen was a pupil of Nick Sirianni in San Diego, whatever. They didn't run the RPO there. Shane Steichen adopted that from Jalen Hurts and Lincoln Riley, which is what Jalen Hurts was running in 22, where we say he had his best year at, okay? But Shane Steichen is running that offense in Indianapolis right now. He didn't take Nick Sirianni's offense to Indianapolis, and he's having success with it, with Daniel Jones. We're not running what we ran to win the Super Bowl or to even be in 22. We didn't run it. And everybody want to say Jalen Hurts had his best year in 22. I disagree with that. I think the outcome was better. But if you look at the teams that we played in 22, they were all bad teams. So it wasn't hard to beat them teams. If you look at 23, we beat the Chiefs, we beat Buffalo, we beat Miami, we beat all the good teams. We were 10-1. And then we suffered injuries, and then AJ and Jalen thing went on, and we all know how that ended up. But my point is, we have to get to back to what you do best. Stop worrying about the league get catching up to you. Well, the league ain't catched up yet. We're assuming. We're just projecting that they're going to catch up. Well, let them catch up, then you change it. You know what I'm saying? Now, this week, I believe that this is going to be just like any what we know Jalen Hurts to do. This is where he's going to have his best game, which is on Sunday, because – I don't even want to believe what I believe as far as, you know, with this relationship thing going on, because I don't like it. And I believe it has a huge part of what's going on with the team.
Well, I agree with you on that. I think it is a huge part of it. I think we're almost underselling how much the AJ thing has sucked the life out of them the last few weeks. I'm with you on this, OG. I think it's a big problem.
Yeah, because to be quite honest with you, Joe, you're not going to be able to satisfy AJ. In the last two, when we were 4-0, AJ started tweeting like he did in Tennessee. That's what got him out of there. Now, AJ's had his two best games, and we lost two games.
Yep, exactly.
So where are you going to make AJ happy at? I just don't see it, man.
Well, I agree, and I think they have to move off that. OG, appreciate the phone call. The idea of trying to keep AJ happy feels like it's a dog chasing its tail. I mean, he's right. The last two games, they threw the football more to him, and they scored 17 points in each game. They didn't win either.
I don't necessarily think that was meant to make him happy. I think that's trying. I honestly think there's a parallel.
The louder he gets, the more the ball goes to him.
There's a parallel, yeah. But he hasn't gotten louder, Joe. He's been indifferent. I would probably say that's the best way I would describe it.
Well, but the 2 weeks ago was the tweet, which
that started it.
It's not a passive aggressive loud.
The passive aggressiveness.
Making
thing.
A scene. He made a scene.
But the bottom line is this. And this is kind of like there's a lot at play here. That's why I don't feel like it's just one thing or another thing. I think it's a collective of a bunch of things. The running game is not there.
Yep.
The running game is not there. So, in essence, that kind of forces you. You're trying to get the defense to back off. They're not buying it. They're not buying it. They're still attacking the run in an aggressive way. And they also are changing their fronts to stop the run. So, they're not buying it. You're not throwing the ball efficiently enough to make teams believe that you can throw the football. That's the problem. That is why it looks like you're trying to force feed him, because you know you're looking at 8-man fronts, and they're like, okay, beat me with your arm. And he hasn't done that. When you talk about that consistency, he hasn't consistently done it.
Right, there's been great halves, but then there's been bad halves. Yes. I mean, that's been the story. This segment brought to you by Meineke. It's football season. Make sure your car is game day ready. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. All right, I quickly pulled this up because OG is talking about the RPO stuff. A lot of people brought this up the last few days. So in 2022, where I think most of us, and OG kind of pushed back, but most of us agree that's Jalen's best season, right? The year he was most consistently excellent throughout the year. They leaned on him, threw for 240 yards a game, second in MVP. That year, he had eight passing attempts per game out of the RPO. So far this season, it's down to just five, and the numbers are pretty remarkable. This season, when throwing out of the RPO, and again, it's not much, but when he does, 106 passer rating, 77 completion percentage. Hugh, when the Eagles are not in RPO, when Jalen throws out of any other formation, 65%. He's 77% in the RPO, 65% anything else. Shotguns, pistol, under center, whatever the heck they do. But anything but RPO, 65%. That's a big difference. 77% is top of the league. 65% is middle of the pack.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I really don't – if you every team self-scouts. And a lot of times you do variations of what you did last year that made you good. It just doesn't feel like this team is doing that. And I don't know why. Don't know why.
Well, I mean, I think they're caught in between. I mean, I think they're caught in between what they want to be, what they should be, what they need to be, the game script, all that kind of stuff. It's a mess. 215-592-9494. For Will in South Jersey's up on WIP. Hey, Will.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Will, what's up?
Listen, I feel like we're 2024 for the reasons that was already stated. But here's the thing, guys. This is very simple. We ran the ball six times in the first game we lost. And we ran the ball 12 times in the second game we lost. And our running back is averaging 5 yards a carry. He averaged 5.8 during the Super Bowl year. So the problem is here is we got away from the run. You know, you look at it all started with Kansas City, right? Super Bowl. Because Kansas City kind of stopped our run game. But we kept on running it. We didn't stop the run. We kept pushing it. And that's why we won the Super Bowl. Because they say the best defense is the defense that's not on the field, meaning you can't score against a defense if they're not out there. You can't. So when you run the ball, it eats up clock, it controls the game, and makes your quarterback comfortable.
Well, I agree with you. Now I think we can all realize the run game hasn't been as great this year, right? It's been more choppy. But the last 2 weeks, you're not wrong. 6 for 30 against Denver. They completely went away from the run in the second half. And then this past weekend, or Thursday, 12 for 58 against the Giants. That's enough. I mean, that's enough to keep running it and at least try to see if they can get going, they can get in a groove. You're right. And Will, it's one thing, like this past game, they were down 17 by the end. Obviously, you got to throw. It's kind of desperation. But that Denver game, they were never down. They were up until they went down on the last possession. But like that second half, the fact that they came out throwing was insane.
Yeah, it was. You just said it. It's inexcusable. Is another word I'll use. Inexcusable for a professional team who's winning the way they're winning against Denver, and to not come out and run the ball. That's just like you said, insane. It's just inexcusable.
Yeah, and I think they're getting well. Good phone call. It feels like they're not getting as many big runs, but they do have to stick with it more. I mean, Barkley.
You
got to
be more committed to it.
Yeah, Barkley. The last 2 weeks has 18 total carries. He had 6 against Denver. We can all see the O-line hasn't been great this year, but Hugh, I feel like if they continue to run it, I do think they'll spring a block. Like Mailata has said, 50 times this year, we're one block away. Well, give them more opportunity. I mean, again, if you're down 10 or 14 in the fourth quarter, that's a different story. You have to throw. You have no time to go.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part this year, they haven't. You know, the Rams game, they were down a lot.
The only game has been out of hand is the one that was, Thursday night.
And they were down to the Rams and came back.
Yeah.
But that's it, right? The two halves of football have been out of hand where they've been way down. It's he's not wrong. I mean, as much as the run game has been not as good and Saquon's getting hit in the backfield way more, he only has one game this year with 20 carries. That's not a lot. It's not a lot out of six games.
I remember being in games where, you know, and I talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers because that's the guy that comes to mind is Jerome Bettis.
Yeah.
Where you have, in the first half, negative 10 yards, but you stay committed to the run. That's old school football, Joe. That's what that is. And we don't have that old school mentality. You know, guys get hurt. You know, this offensive line is not fluid yet, and we haven't done anything or stayed committed to anything. You know, we'll come out one half and we'll throw the ball a whole lot, and if that's not working, then we'll try to run the ball a couple times. If you want something to work, a lot of times you have to be committed to the failures to a certain extent. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you talk about early in the game. If you go into a game and say, hey, I'm going to run the football, you got to be committed to that. It's tough sledding running a football because a lot of times, especially in that first half, and when you talk about the physicality that this offensive line had at one time, they're not playing that way now, but at one time, you get to leaning on these smaller defenses. Because that Giants defense, they're good, they're agile, they're hostile, but they're a little bit smaller than most of the defenses, than the Jacksonville Jaguars defense. If you'd have leaned on them a little bit more, like Scatabo did on us, then that's when the run starts to pay dividends. You got to be committed to it, man. You can't be scattershot when you do some of the things that you're trying to do.
Well, and this would be a different story if the Eagles' passing game was high-flying, right? Like, then it'd be like, well, all right, well, if we can't run it, let's just throw it all over the place because we're dominating like the way they did in the title game at Super Bowl. The passing game hasn't been like that, so nothing's working.
And not only that, in the passing game, and a lot of times when you want teams to back off and stop blitzing you, they used to call them blitz beaters, quick hits, like quick slants, because everybody's committed to stop the run, so everybody's playing close because they know you're not really throwing the football. Yep. Stop trying to put the ball down the field, push it down the field. You have one of the biggest, most physical receivers in the game. Put him out there one-on-one.
Doesn't it feel like our offense, the passing game is either deep shots or dump-offs?
That's what I'm saying. Put him out there one-on-one and let him work. If it was me, it would be what you used to call them, quick hitters, them quick slants. I would go hike and just throw it to AJ. Let him do your magic. Because you're going to get one-on-one. You're out there. They're planning to stop the run. So do your thing.
Who would everyone rather call the plays this weekend, Kevin Petullo or Hugh Douglas?
You don't want me calling the play.
Well, I mean, you kind of threw your name in the ring.
I'm just saying. You don't want me calling
the play. I mean, if Petullo's a one and done, they might need a coordinator.
I channel my inner Jack Del Rio. I'd be like, hey, we're going to give him a heavy dose of Fred Taylor. I remember being in meetings. He'd be like, hey, we're going to give him a heavy dose of Fred Taylor.
You could be this year's Patricia.
I would run the ball until, like, I would, Saquon would get about 25 carries in the first half, easy. Easy.
Imagine if Hugh was the coordinator and then you came in here Monday, but you aired all the dirty laundry about the offense.
No, I would take a shot.
Oh, he would. He'd be very messy.
Listen, I would take a shot.
I called this play and the quarterback screwed it up. That's not on me. That's on him. All right, 215-592-9494. Your phone calls on all this. Is this feeling more like 23 or 24? Where is the season going for the Philadelphia Eagles? The Dodgers dominating the NLCS, does it make you feel better? It doesn't for me. It makes me feel like the Phillies could have beat the team that's going to win the World Series.
Everybody should feel better.
Well, no one does these days.
Top three's off the hook.
They are not.
Off the hook.
That may be for you, not for most people. All right. On the other side as well, the segment you've all been waiting for since the week started, our updated quarterback power rankings, the top 10 in pro football right now. Let's see how many of us drop the act here. 215-592-9494. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Fall is here, everybody. And you know what that means? That means comfort food and tailgates. Nothing brings heat to your table like Hatfield Recipe Essentials Chorizo. Chorizo is good, everybody. Picture this. Cheesy chorizo dip bubbling on the table or in a pot of your hearty chili on those cold game days. With Hatfield, you're getting flavor you can trust because they put better care into every step for better pork on your plate. Find recipes at simplyhatfield.com. Hatfield, better care, better pork.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.